Praise the Lord. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? He's worthy. He alone is worthy. I'm so blessed as a pastor when I hear people say this is the friendliest church I've ever been in. So I want to give God a hand clap of praise for that this morning. Amen. What we do, how we respond to people matters. It matters. And we're going to get into that a little bit this morning. We're going to talk about what's happened to God's authority. Did you know God wanted his people to walk in authority? And one of our forefathers said, when the people fear the government, there's tyranny. But when the government fears the people, there's liberty. And I think we're living in a time where that's forgotten. But the reason that is because people don't walk in the authority that God wanted them to walk in. And we're gonna break that open this morning. So before we get started, let's pray. Father, I just ask that you would strengthen us by your word. Your word is truth. Your word is the foundation in which we are to position ourselves and know that there's not an earthquake on this earth, in this world, in this time, that can shake us from the foundation, which is your truth, your Son. Your Son is the person of truth, according to John 14:6. And God, I just ask that you strengthen us to position ourselves in your truth, in your word, and be the people you have called us to be for your kingdom's sake. God, I pray you use us mightily in Athens. And when we walk out these doors, we walk out these doors to make a difference for your kingdom, to share the hope that you've enlightened all of us with because of what you've done on Calvary's cross and in the resurrection of your Son. And I just thank you for that, God, and ask you to birth your word in our hearts. And we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever a person acts or speaks or thinks, we act, speak, and think in authority because God made us this way. And that's according to Genesis 1, verse 28. And it says, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God meant for his people to have authority. But because of man's fall, they lost that authority. And we're going to look at that in Genesis 2, verse 15. It says, and the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Verse 16 says, and when the Lord God commanded man, saying, over every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day you eat of it, you will surely die. And to die meant to live separate from God. And when we take a step back and look at our culture, look at what's going on in this world is living separate from God. But the good news is in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that what Adam and Eve did in the fall of Adam and Eve, God restored that and gave it back to mankind because he allowed his only begotten Son to pay the price of all of our sins sitting in this room. And not just all of our sins, but the sins of the world. So God didn't just send his Son to die for the American people. He sent his Son to die for the entire world. That is an awesome God. That is an awesome God that would pay the price for all of humanity's mess ups. My sister never would help me out in my mess ups. In fact, if she even did half of the mess up, it was Frankie's fault. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You probably have one of them siblings that acted that way too. It was their fault. Of course, I can't say much different. I made it her fault too. But that's kind of how we roll. We look for some place to lay the blame. And when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day and he said, Adam, where are you? Now, how is it that an all-knowing God is wanting to know where Adam is? I don't believe it was at all that God wanted to know where Adam was, that he was hid and he couldn't find him. He wanted Adam to know where he was. And what did he do? He quickly started blaming the woman. Ain't that just like a man? Just like a man. He said, hey, that woman you gave me. And then the woman blamed the serpent. You know what? It's time for us as individuals, what when Jesus paid the price, we died ourselves, we step in new life in Christ Jesus, and we're no longer hunting anybody to blame, but we now begin to walk in the freedom of Jesus. So freedom don't come from a government. Freedom comes from the throne room of God. And what needs to happen in this earth is that mankind needs to surrender back to his creator. Every man in every nation of every tongue and every language needs to surrender to the God who created them. There's not multiple gods or the God of your choice. There is the God that is the creator of all of heaven and earth and everything that dwells in it. And we need to surrender to him and walk in his authority and stop walking in this nonsense that goes on in our culture today. It's time to surrender to God. Hallelujah. Give him a hand clap of praise. That's fine. At the fall of Adam and Eve, demonic and self-authority entered the earth. Before that, there was God's authority. So at the fall of Adam and Eve, self-authority entered along with a demonic authority entered. Each act, thought, or word we speak is driven by three different sources of authority. Our own, the devil's. You remember Flip Wilson, don't you? If you don't remember Flip Wilson, you're not getting mail from AARP. Flip Wilson said all the time, the devil made me do it. But how much of what goes on in our culture today is from self-authority? What Adam and Eve done when they failed, they created this autonomous rule that I'm in charge of myself. That's what we got going on in our world today. It's why there's so much confusion trying to be imposed on our children with an identity crisis, whether they don't know if they're a boy or a girl. Let me take you back to Scripture. God created male and female. He didn't create confusion. He didn't create transgenderism to birth it in 2023, 4, 2, 1. I don't know when it started. But that's a demonic authority. It's almost like an eclipse. Hello? We got one of them coming up tomorrow. It's almost like an eclipse. Evil is trying to overshadow the power and the authority of God, but I'm going to tell you something. When the eclipse happens tomorrow, there's going to be a realm of light that you cannot, and this world, it is a good demonstration that no matter what goes on in this world, that the power of Almighty God and His Son Jesus will overtake the darkness that's on this earth. Will overtake it. But the people, we have to reposition ourselves to where we walk in God's authority and not just say, oh, I'm a Christian. There's enough of that goes on. They're Christian, but where are they on Monday? The church houses are full of them on Sunday, but where are they on Monday? Where are they on the workplace? Where are they in life? Where are they at school? Where are the Christians? It's time to come out of the closet. Everybody else has come out of the closet. Christians, come out of the closet. Be who God called us to be. Walk in his authority. Y'all bear with me. I may drive 600 miles, but I'm buying the gas. Hang on. Each act or thought or word we speak is driven by three different sources of authority: our own, the devil's, or God's. You take two football teams on a football field. You put them out there, and they's some power source going on. And that when the play starts, the hitting starts, and you got 11 men lined up on each side of a ball, and when that thing goes to happening and the play's going down, and all that's got to happen is one thing. That's a referee blow the whistle. You don't even see him much. He kind of gets in the way every now and then, and some of them's pretty funny when you see him run over by the players, yeah? He ain't even got his pads on. But it's funny to see the referee get run over. But he can stop the play with a blow of his whistle. That's authority. They ain't 11 of them on the field. I think there's 6 or 8 referees playing at the game. And when the referee blows the whistle, the play stops. Why? Because of authority. And it's recognized in the realm of football. Now, if we could get that figured out in the world, and that what God has placed each of us as believers to be, it's time to stop saying we're believers and start walking in the authority of Almighty God. Adam and Eve lost that. The first authority ever given has been under attack since the beginning of time. However, godly authority is trying to be destroyed today. They don't even want to hear the word Jesus. We take the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse, prayer out of the school. Don't show up out of the church house, or we'll send you packing. So I don't know. We have to walk in fear to be a Christian. That is not what God called us to be. That is not what God called us to be. So we've been under attack, and the authority of God has been under attack since the beginning of time. We look at what's going on in our world today, especially in America. There's no authority. The police is having given this order of stand down. Don't do your job. Used to be that there was respect for police officers. Now police officers don't even want the job anymore. They're taking retirement early because their authority is being destroyed. A nation, America, used to be recognized as the leading nation of the world because of its authority, and it's diminishing quickly. When a nation separates itself from its creator, not just America, when a nation separates itself from its authority that was created at the beginning of time, when we remove ourselves from God, we might wind up with the chaos we got today. And that comes from leadership. When leaders choose not to walk in God's authority, when borders are wide open, and Raymond did a great thing yesterday at the men's breakfast, said, "I'm tired." And you, what's your little website, brother? Facebook? Simple Kind of Man. I've challenged you to go read it. "I'm tired" was the title of this little deal he done. But I'm tired of seeing God's people walk in fear of what's going on in the world and not stand in his authority. The reason we can't stand in his authority is because we don't position ourselves in who he wants us to be in day-to-day living. Jesus said, "If any man comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Jesus also said in John 10:1, this is what gets me, is so many people say, "I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I know I'm going to heaven." And then you can ask them biblical questions, and you can watch the fruit of their life, and it don't exist. And Jesus said in Matthew 7:22, I believe it was, that there's going to be many stand before me on that day and say, "I cast out demons in your name. I done this in your name." And he says, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you." Who does God resist? That is God resisting. Who does God resist? The proud. Where does pride come from? Being self-governed. We want to tell God how we're going to live our Christian life. That is not, I can't find a verse of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation that will justify such a livelihood. They ain't one. That I can just do what I want to do. Burger King said, have it your way. Not the Word of God. So if you want, you can go to Burger King. Did you know there's about 10,000 ways to have a cheeseburger? It's a cheeseburger, for heaven's sake. But there's about 10,000 ways to have it. There is not 10,000 ways to be a Christian. There is one way to be a Christian. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. That is surrendering to His authority, surrendering to His rule in our life. Jesus said this in John 10:1, He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, is a thief and a robber. You know what you call that? A border wall. We don't want to hear that in our culture. Everything, anything goes. We just come on in till we're not a nation anymore. And it is time that we walk and return. It is time that we can do it at the ballot box. You don't like what's going on in culture? Vote it out. And if in the real world, if you don't do your job, you get fired, right? It's time some of these dudes get fired. I'm bringing all of this up today to tell you, lift up your eyes. Stop walking like we're defeated. If you have really asked Jesus into your life, stop walking like you're defeated. You are not defeated. We are not defeated. There may be an eclipse, a spiritual eclipse. There may be this dark, demonic power overshadowing, this self-governing, overpowering. But greater is He who is in us than he that's in the world. We're going to get to some good scripture here in a minute. I bring all this up today to tell you, lift up your eyes and your heart to Jesus. Reposition your lives before Jesus. Before the Great Commission, this is what He said in Matthew 28:18. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. All authority. Everybody say authority. All authority has been given to me. So we don't have to walk like we're defeated. The word authority only comes up 3 times in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, when you think about the authority that Jesus, that the Bible is talking about, the Hebrew word for authority means power, strength, and energy. The word is only used 3 times in the Old Testament, and 2 times is in, when you think of what book would it be used in? You'd probably think of an Isaiah, Jeremiah, but it's in the book of Esther. 3 times that it's mentioned. 2 times in the book of Esther. Esther wrote, and I believe it's 2:29, about God's authority and being in His authority. All authority. All authority. The Hebrew meaning in the New Testament is to become many or great, to multiply. That's the same thing He told Adam and Eve in the beginning. Be fruitful, multiply. We don't need more chaos. We don't need this self-ruling, autonomous do it your way, Burger King lifestyle, continuing to walk in that authority and telling the Christians, be quiet, shut up. God's people need to stand up and speak to these people, because their deliverance depends on your testimony. The word that Jesus has declared to us, for us to be disciples, Jesus declared to his disciples that all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to him. In other words, he said, I'm in charge. I'm in charge. And we're followers of that one that is in charge. Indeed, the Father has given the Son all authority up there, down here in heaven, and in history, and in eternity, and in time. Christianity then is no longer a generic religion tied to a generic God. Generic gods can't do nothing for a man. That's why all these other gods is little g. If you ever read about that, it's spelled with a little g, lowercase. Because those gods have no authority over the God that created everything. No authority. Authority over the universe is in the hand of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Therefore, people need to reposition their lives from their own authority to His authority. And when we begin to walk in His authority, we'll begin to see a great shift, and we'll begin to see that eclipse begin to move, and the light begin to come around that eclipse, and the true light shine, and it will. And when the true light really begins to shine, we'll begin to see mankind turning their hearts to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The devil is far more powerful than you. So when you're in self-authority and you're in self-governing and you're an autonomous person and you're living your Christian life the way you want to live it, and you're not really surrendering to God's authority, you're positioning yourself for a demonic force to take over you. Then you can live like Flip Wilson and tell everybody the devil made you do it. But it don't work. There's no peace in that. There's no joy in that. It creates addiction. It creates depression. It creates hatred, unforgiveness. It brings a host of junk with it, and people wind up with all this luggage they're trying to carry around when Jesus is standing there saying, I'll take all of that from you. I've paid for it, and I will set you free. God wants you to be free from all the baggage of this world. And the only way to do that is with our association with Jesus. It's the ultimate determining factor in our lives as individuals. In light of Jesus' all-encompassing authority, he commands his disciples to make disciples. Matthew 28:19. This is a command, not a suggestion or a request. A disciple is a learner who seeks to become like the one in who he is following. The goal of discipleship then is to help people become progressively like Christ. That's why we have Bible studies, men's gatherings, ladies' fellowships. That's why we do all of these things, is to gather with our brothers and sisters and encourage each other to be little Christs. That's what it means to be Christ-like, to be little Christs. We're progressively to become like him in character, in conduct, in attitude, in action. Jesus shares his authority only with disciples that are truly following him, so that you can see the rule of God in your own life. You remember the time, I can for myself, remember the time that you just blow up like a volcano, just somebody do some little bitty something, make you mad, and pff, you just erupt. And if you've repositioned your life and you don't have that attribute in your life no more, it's because of the one that lives in you. It's because you've repositioned your life and you reevaluate yourself and recognize that, hey, I don't need to act like that anymore. You've only got so much emotional energy. Why waste it on things that don't matter? When you reposition yourself in Christ, everything can roll off of you like water on a duck's back, from sickness to family issues to whatever. And then your family goes, well, why don't that upset you? What, am I just supposed to throw wall-eyed fits all the time? If I do that, I'm autonomous. I'm not surrendered to the authority of God. Discipleship is the key element of God's kingdom agenda. It's the visible manifestation of God's rule over every area of life. The effectiveness of the church is therefore evaluated. Listen to this. This is how you're looked at when you walk out of these doors and you say, I'm part of Living for the Brand Cowboy Church. All that is a title over our door. Jesus is the authority of our lives. He has just blessed us to be in an air-conditioned building with a great worship team and to be here and gather together and worship Him freely. That's all this building does for us. But the discipleship of Christ is evaluated when we enter the world, not by the number of our members, but by the disciple making that goes on, because we gather together and do things to be stronger and be encouragers to each other. It's the absence of discipleship that keeps a church impotent and ineffective. Because by not taking up Christ's mission of discipleship, its people cannot draw on Christ's authority. And when we don't draw on Christ's authority and we don't walk in the authority that God wanted us to walk in, we wind up scared and wondering what's going on in this world. Do you know our children need some hope? The only hope that our children will have is by the authority that you walk in and you show them who Jesus is in your life. You can show people who Jesus is by never mentioning His name, but by your character, conduct, and how you speak, because Jesus is in control of who you are, because you've surrendered yourself to Him. We're not autonomous. We're surrendered vessels. Therefore, Paul said, I die daily. I have to die a daily death to self. Because when self goes to getting in the way of Jesus, oh Lord, I'm opening myself up to the demonic. That's what Eve done. Eve was in God's authority. Then she opened herself up by listening. Hear me now. Listening to the background noise of what was going on. And the serpent came to her, hey, look at this tree. It's good. They had every tree and they could freely eat any tree they wanted to, but just had one command to follow. One command. Don't eat of this tree. Boy, she jacked that up, didn't she? Men, you can say it now. That's just like a woman. But the only way for us to return from that is to surrender ourselves to God's obedience and take up Christ's mission of discipleship. Its people can't draw on Christ's authority without that. Proverbs 29 and 2, the scripture says this right here. Proverbs 29 and 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. And what we're looking at today in our culture is a groaning society. It can change by individuals repositioning their life in God's authority and surrender to Him and His authority and stand in it no matter what, no matter the cost. When they came to hang Peter, Peter said, just don't hang me like you did my Jesus. I'm not worthy of being hung like He was. Hang me upside down. How can you just say that? Because of the authority that's in your life. You may take my life on this earth, but you can't take my eternity with my King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm in His authority. Living in His authority is a gift. It's a gift to the humble. And I want to share that with you out of 1 Peter, verse 5. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And then he says in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Why is he walking about seeking whom he may devour? Because if we are trying to be autonomous and walk in our own authority, you open yourself up to the demonic presence. Even doubt is a demonic presence. Doubt, not trusting Jesus, it creates unbelief. And what we're looking at when people can't walk in the authority of God is unbelief. What is the unforgivable sin? Unbelief. So when we position ourselves in a manner that we just doubt, well, I love God, but I don't know sometimes. And I don't think there's a person in this room that ain't walked somewhere in that in your life, including myself. We've walked in that. But the only way to have that authority restored to us is on our knees, staying before God, staying in his word. Let's go on looking right here in verse 9. It says, resist him. Because he's walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9 says, resist him. Stand fast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. What did he say? The same sufferings. All of us suffer, and we wonder this doubt can enter our minds. But he said in verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. What is that? Establish, strengthen, and settle you. What is the Hebrew meaning for authority in the New Testament? It means to become great and to multiply. It means to be restored, to have strength. To him be the glory in verse 11 and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It is time that the enemy be put in his place in your life. And it's time for you to realize you're not autonomous. You don't get to figure out what's right and wrong as a Christian. You surrender to Jesus and Jesus leads your life. Come on, Wayne. I'm going to read this little part out of 2 Timothy to you right here. 2 Timothy 2, verse 12. He says this, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So if we reposition ourselves as individuals, I'm going to trust Jesus no matter what. I'm going to trust Jesus though this world rage and doubt around me, though this world rage and screams that I need to have my rights. And ain't that what everybody's screaming? I need my rights. That's autonomous. That's what Adam and Eve done. And then they started blaming everybody else. What God wants is to strengthen your life, and the only way he can do that is surrender totally to his authority. What did Jesus say in Matthew 28? All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. So I'm going to ask you today, as we stand together and the band begins to play, can you give God... Can you surrender your authority to Jesus? Will you surrender to him? Don't be your own person, but surrender to Almighty God. As the band plays, if you need to pray, come this way. Come on.